Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the regular meeting of council July 12th to order at 7:01 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilman Christopher Hallam. Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
And Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to excuse Councilman Fiebig and Hallam.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to excuse Councilman Hallam and Councilman Fiebig from this evening's meeting. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. Councilmen Hallam and Fiebig have been excused from this evening's meeting. The first order of business this evening is a public hearing, and this is mandated for our ordinance adopting a tax budget for the fiscal year 2019 for the city of Willoughby Hills. So I will open public portion at 7, or public hearing, at 7:03 p.m. And this hearing, if anybody's could come forward, it's just specific to this topic on the tax budget. Nobody? Okay, then I will close the hearing at 7:03 p.m. I guess I'll do 7:04. Thank you. The disposition of the journal, the clerk has completed the minutes, the written minutes for June 14, 2018, but it wasn't enough time to bring it to council to be adopted, so we will do that at the next meeting. The next is the finance director's report. Mr. Berkachuk.
No report in particular tonight, other than the request that the tax budget be enacted tonight on second reading, because by law it has to be enacted by July 15th. This year it's July 16th because the 15th falls on a Sunday.
Okay, that was good to know. Any questions for the finance director this evening? Thank you, Frank. City engineer's report, Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. Just one item. We received bids for the street resurfacing project today at noon. We received three bids. Our estimate in round numbers was about $397,000. The apparent low bidder was at $396,000, and the others were at $436,000 and $437,000. So the apparent low bidder was right at our estimate. We haven't looked at the bids yet, so we will do a thorough review and then make a recommendation. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for the city engineer this evening? Thanks, Pete. Seeing none, we'll move on to a committee reports. I will provide then my committee report for rules and legislation that met this week. Rules and legislation met Monday, July 9th at 6:30 p.m. The members of the committee were myself, Vice President Pleshnik, and Councilwoman Pismo. Also, Mayor Wager joined us. The order of business began with legislation for this evening's meeting. The first one is Ordinance 2018-34. This is the ordinance adopting a tax budget for the fiscal year 2019 for the city of Willoughby Hills. A public hearing will be conducted, as we just did, at the onset of the council meeting for the purposes of this topic only, and we had at that time determined this would be on second reading. The next are resolutions. Resolution 2018-7, a resolution approving the Lake County Soiled Waste Management District's amended plan. It's a five-year update. Rules and legislation recommend this be on first reading. Resolution 2018-8, a resolution congratulating Michael Garrett Fiebig on attaining the prestigious rank of Eagle Scout awarded by the National Boy Scouts of America. Rules and legislation recommend that the three-reading rule be waived and the resolution be adopted. The next one is Resolution 2018-9. This is a resolution congratulating Joseph David Fiebig, his brother, on also attaining the prestigious rank of Eagle Scout awarded by the National Boy Scouts of America. Rules and legislation recommends a three-reading rule be waived and this resolution be adopted. The next is Resolution 2018-10. This is a resolution declaring the month of September as National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month in the city of Willoughby Hills. Rules and legislation recommends that the three-reading rule be waived and the resolution be adopted, and that Linda Hautger, 0PCAM Proclamation Team Member of Canal Winchester, Ohio, be notified of our city's support. The next was a resolution supporting suicide prevention. We received communication from Joe Frieders of the United City of Yorkville, Illinois, requesting support and a resolution for September 2018 as National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. Rules and legislation supports a resolution to be drafted. The Rules and Legislation Committee recommends that an ordinance be drafted authorizing Greg Beck and Baker, Dublaker, Beck, Weiler, and Matthews to represent the City of Willoughby Hills and the public official named in the complaint filed in Wager versus City of Willoughby Hills City Council, Lake County Common Pleas Court, case number 18CV000964 on June 20th, 2018. We moved on to the topic of the Grange. At our last meeting, it was decided that a message or an ad would be placed on the city website, the council section of the city website, as well as channel 1024 WHTV, inviting those interested in serving on a landmark commission with representation from all three city districts. To date, the message has been posted on both areas of the website. Additionally, there were thoughts to amend Ordinance 2017-63 to reflect additional groups meeting at the Grange besides the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and to address the issue and returning of the keys to the building, for the building. Concerning Section 1A of Ordinance 2017-63, add organizations to be able to be on site of the Grange are the Boys and Girl Scouts, various council meetings, committee meetings of council, ad hoc, Landmark Commission Committee, and the Landmark Commission when and if established. Also, Section 1D, keys to the Grange are to be signed out at the police/dispatch office with ID, time, and date with a 24-hour limit for the key to be signed out at one time or procured via a lockbox system where a camera is capturing the signing in and returning of a Grange key. Councilman Pismo discussed sanctioned groups that would be voted on by council for use at the Grange, the question then being how to determine a sanctioned group. A question would be to review the city's Recreation Commission definition and how they manage that process. It was mentioned that there is no ADA accessibility available at the Grange. President Fellows posed a question how to secure the Scouts' property at the Grange when others are using the facility. Councilwoman Pismo reiterated that this building belongs to the public and the priority is with the residents of the city. Vice President Pleshnik suggested that a summation at this time is that this is about as far as we could go in rules and legislation with the topic. At our next council meeting, a vote would be taken to create an ad hoc committee of the Grange and Landmark Commission, with Councilwoman Pismo being the chair if she agrees, and then she can choose her committee members. All members of the Rules Committee agreed. Mayor Wager brought up the issue of the Grange key. Since the dispatch center will be closed beginning August 1st, a lockbox will be available to procure the keys. An individual is being filmed by the camera in the area, as well as the necessity to sign in to retrieve the keys and then a signature again when you're returning them. As this change is implemented, ways to improve will be identified. The mayor also shared that he will bring Mr. Joe Diemert forward to council as a nominee for law director. Vetting has been completed. He has been offered $4,000 per month with $100, which will go to his company, $150 an hour for special projects, which will be billable hours approved by council. Public portion began at 7:19 p.m. Frank Sahula inquired if the law director would be available to advise the BZA, and the mayor responded yes. Linda Fulton shared concerns aligned with the Grange. Has the building been checked out for safety if meetings are to be held there? Electric, plumbing, how can meetings be televised? Is there an AED machine available? What about the Boys and Girl Scouts equipment? Is it out of the way so others can meet? The mayor responded that the fire department has completed a safety review and the building is safe for use. The Grange has smoke detectors, but no sprinklers. Councilwoman Pismo stated that the insurance on the building listed as a visitor's museum. Concern as to scouts having meetings there as it does not fit the insurance coverage definition. John Krause has asked, has there been any thoughts or discussion about him purchasing the Grange? He knows that the HVAC system will need to be replaced soon. While the septic system is fine now, more people using it will tax the system. Assures that if he is the owner, it will be open to the public, and he will replace whatever is needed. Vice President Pleshnik mentioned, while it is admirable that Mr. Krause wants to purchase the Grange, there are many legal ramifications for a city to sell property to a resident. Also, what needs to be considered, what are or were the conditions from the Maple Grove Grange Association when they sold the building and property to the city? One cannot just offer a dollar value to a city to purchase a property. The property has to be valued, and then it must be bid out, most probably by sealed bids. A public hearing with the city residents and other interested parties most likely should be conducted. John Krause shared that the city owns the TV, the pool table, the piano, and the historic items on the walls. He indicated the rest of the items belong to the scouts, including the refrigerator, stove, tables, and chairs. Cheryl Oda thanked Councilwoman Pismo for insight to policies and regulations developed for use of the Grange. Discussion ensued concerning sleepovers at the Grange. Heidi Lee Cameron, Girl Scout leader, mentioned that, yes, this has been done in the past as a camping experience for the girls, no different than being in a cabin at a Girl Scout camp, but this is no longer being done. Did or does our insurance cover sleepovers? Heidi shared that the items that belong to the Girl Scouts in the Grange include some awards. She takes her supplies back and forth and does not leave them in the Grange. The stove is not functional at this time. She agrees with the lockbox and a sign-out and sign-back-in sheet. Her group is willing to give back to the city in form of volunteerism for use of the Grange. Public portion closed at 7:49, and the meeting adjourned at 7:50. I'm open to any questions. Thank you for listening. So, I just wanted to mention that there was a Recreation Commission meeting scheduled last night. Myself and other members of the community were waiting to get in. The doors of the City Hall were closed, and then there was a message that was sent from the clerk about 7:30 last night that the meeting had been canceled because they did not have a quorum. So I probably mentioned something to the chairman of that committee as if I'm not sure when they determined they didn't have a quorum or not, but there should have been at least something posted on the outside of the door because the City Hall was locked up. All right. Other council representative reports. Vice President Pleshnik, report.
Yes, Madam President. Earlier this morning, we had our July quarterly meeting of the Noise Abatement Council for the Cuyahoga County Airport, which is our opportunity to express our concerns to the Cuyahoga County Airport as well as get an update on what's happening there. In terms of complaints, there were 16 complaints this past quarter, 15 of which were from Willoughby Hills, and that's fairly typical. Most of the complaints have been from Willoughby Hills in recent years, and those complaints are based off operations of 5,083 operations during that same quarter. We had an update on the joint statement, which is actually the agreement that the City of Willoughby Hills has with Cuyahoga County, the surrounding cities, the airport, and its tenants that creates the Noise Abatement Council as well as the noise abatement procedures, the quiet hours that give us some protections as residents. the Cuyahoga County Council had wanted to update the joint statement. There was initially a push to exempt single-engine planes from any of the noise abatement procedures. As your representative, hearing from you, I pushed back on that. Unfortunately, that proposal was canned, but there was a small change made in addition to aesthetic changes, such as noting county council versus county commissioners, which is to say that single-engine planes are allowed to turn out early when safety requires it. I don't view this as a substantive change because federal law already requires safe operations of aircraft. You can't unsafely take off in a plane. And so I don't think this is a substantive change, but nonetheless, the new language in the agreement, word for word, is single-engine aircraft to be allowed earlier turnout as required for safe operations and to afford minimum separation from higher-performance aircraft. So that small change there is in front of Willoughby Hills City Council for consideration for us to vote on whether or not to authorize the mayor to sign this agreement, which would allow us to continue to participate in the Noise Abatement Council and the Noise Abatement Agreement, which we've had since 1977. Fun fact, it was initially passed by George Voinovich when he was a county commissioner, of all things. We also got a construction update on the airport. Phase 3, which was putting in the soft concrete, the EMAS, the engineered construction material on the Richmond Heights side, is finished. This is essentially the equivalent of a runaway truck ramp, so if a plane goes too far, it has this extra runway. It's not hard enough to actually use it as runway, but if the plane doesn't stop, it has more place to go other than hitting into, say, a house. And so the extra safety runway was completed on the Richmond Heights side. The important thing there for residents is that the FAA is planning to perform flight tests where they're literally going to compare the beacons that are sending out the different signals from the runway as they fly over it several times. And I'm told that they use fairly high-performance double-propeller planes called Air Kings that will fly over and over and over again. So you will probably hear those planes, but I'm told you'll also be able to read, apparently on the bottom of the planes, it says flight check on the wings, so you'll be able to see this is a one-day thing. It'll be one day during the week of July 23rd. It's kind of like when the cable guy visits. You don't know what time of the day he'll be there. But we know that sometime during the week of the 23rd, they're going to probably take 5 or 6 hours to go over and over and over the airport with noisy rotor planes. So hopefully we can survive that one day and they can confirm that the runway is safe. Phase 4, which is the final phase of the airport construction, is putting the exact same soft concrete, the safety runway on the Willoughby Hills side, and that's already begun, still scheduled to be completed this September. We have a new airport manager at the airport, which is good news because that means we'll have more responsiveness for residents. It's a little difficult when one employee has to respond to every complaint, every concern. Now we actually have an airport manager. We haven't had one since April of last year when the last manager resigned. So the update is that former South Euclid Councilman Robert P. Hartigan has just been hired as the airport manager. And his predecessor, you might have seen in the news, Harold Monica Drake, who stepped down last year, was just hired as the economic development manager for Wycliffe, Kirtland, and Willowick, working under the Lake County Port Authority. So we're certainly excited to have a new manager at the airport, and we wish both Ms. Drake and Mr. Hartigan well. Probably the most surprising thing at the meeting, which was shared out of the blue, is that the local Cleveland FAA publishes different flight plans, both for takeoff and landing. And apparently the takeoff has the acronym of SID, which stands for Standard Instrument Departure. You know, departure as in takeoff. I think takeoff would have been easier to understand, but they call them SIDs. And unfortunately, the SID that was just submitted to the Cuyahoga County Airport says that it's permissible for planes to take off from Cuyahoga County at 1,400 feet above sea level. Now, that sounds pretty high until you realize that the runway of the airport is 879 feet above sea level. And so this SID would tell planes and pilots effectively that once you're 521 feet above the ground, you can start turning out over the city. It technically legal under federal law, but it's a 500-foot lower standard than the 1,900-foot minimum that we have in our joint statement with the Cuyahoga County Airport. And the control tower operator assured the entire Noise Abatement Council that he opposed the proposed flight plan, that he was going to be expressing his concerns to the local FAA, and he was hopeful that this was an oversight. They'd forgotten about their agreement with the Cuyahoga County Airport and the joint statement, and that it would be fixed shortly. But if it's not, I did make a motion, and it was passed unanimously by the Noise Abatement Council, that if Mr. Huth's, if the control tower operator's concerns were ignored, we will be sending a letter to the FAA telling them that the entire Noise Abatement Council disagrees, and I personally intend to be in contact with our congressperson. We hope that this is not necessary, and we hope that this flight plan does not get published, but as of now, apparently, it's slated to be published on July 23rd with an effective date in this September. So we're trying to head that off as quickly as we can. The last part of my update is simply that these Noise Abatement Council meetings are quarterly, and the next one is scheduled for October 11th at 10 a.m. at the Cuyahoga County Airport. And the first meeting of next year is also scheduled for January 10th. They're always 10 a.m. They're always at the airport, and they're always open to the public with a public portion, so you have the opportunity to express your thoughts and concerns. And I really encourage residents to come out, because I can tell you every quarter there's something very significant to the operations of the airport. I certainly stand open to questions. I should also note that Councilwoman Janet Mica did take the time to join us and spoke in public portion. So you should, too.
Any questions for Vice President Plesnik on the airport? Thank you, John. Before I move on to a public portion, is there anything about any committees that anybody wants to say? Nope. Okay. All right, so the next order of business is public portion, and this is an opportunity for individuals to come forth and share their thoughts and opinions. We ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes and that you state your name and your address for the record, and I will open public portion at 7:22 p.m. Tony?
My name is Tony Miller, and I live at 2857 Hayes Drive. Before most of you, there's this letter that I received again, that I received from the police department. And at my last opportunity to speak before this committee or this council, it was suggested by Mr. Fiebig that I asked the police chief about the paragraph that starred on all of your papers. And it reads, additionally, it has been brought to our attention, you have made comments on social media that could be potentially be perceived as threatening or harassing. I would caution you that such comments could possibly lead to a restraining order or further legal action. I did take an opportunity to speak with the chief, and now I'm back here. I would like to know from the council what I have written on social media that is perceived as threatening or harassing. I can't fix things that I don't know about. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else this evening for public portion? Okay. I will close public portion at 7:24 p.m. Any unfinished business? Okay. Moving forward, legislation. The first is Ordinance 2018-34. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance adopting a tax budget for the fiscal year 2019 for the City of Willoughby Hills.
So originally, rules and legislation, it indicated that this would be second reading because we would believe that we would have enough time to do three readings on this and pass it at our next council meeting. And Mr. Berkachek, you're saying that that's not possible. So the next meeting is the 26th. And when is this due?
The 16th.
Really?
Yeah, it's due July 15th every year.
I'm just curious as to why we didn't get it enough time then to review it for three readings.
Well, it was first presented to you on June 22nd, and that was the earliest we could get it get done giving our staffing.
Oh, okay. I go to June 22nd and 28th.
Pardon me?
Well, the meeting was the 21st, no, the 14th, so we got it in between meetings.
First time was the 28th. I did that right.
The first time, so this would have been second reading.
And in the when it was presented, when it was given to you on June 22nd,
but it's
it was
due to the county on the 16th.
And when it was given to you on June 22nd, the cover memo stated that it would need to be passed on second reading.
I think we just assumed we had till the end of July.
Yeah, no, I apologize, but it's.
Then I need a motion to waive and adopt to waive the three reading rule.
Madam President, I'm sorry to bust in on that, but. Do you think it would be helpful for the public that is here if Mr. Berkachek could give a quick recap of what this budget is and why we need to pass it? It's well known that we just did pass a general budget, so in order to make it more clear what is going on, I don't know if your average resident would realize what this paperwork is.
Okay, well, it was pretty thoroughly explained at the last meeting, but basically the tax budget is how the city demonstrates to the County Budget Commission the need for its property taxes. And the tax budget is, basically assumes that the city's property tax rate will remain the same at 7.3 mils. And that's pretty much all the tax budget does.
And this document also gives the breakdown of different places that our property taxes go to, such as police pension, debt service.
Yeah, as I noted in the last meeting, is that in the tax budget, the only funds that are presented are the funds that actually receive property tax revenue, and that's the general, the debt service, the fire levy fund, and the road levy fund.
I think it's good. It's good timing to hear these things because I know our property taxes are due this month, I believe. So this is real pertinent to what's going on. Everybody's getting ready to pay if they pay twice a year. So I just think it's nice to hear it once again, even though we may have discussed it again, that somebody maybe who wasn't here or somebody watching at home might just understand a little bit more what it is.
This is something that's done every year by basically every entity in Ohio that levies property taxes.
And in addition, so this document shows what the projection will be to the city from property taxes, but then it also shows what will be spent through that money. And at the end of this document, we are negative.
That's correct. It's based on this year's budget. And in terms of the tax budget, they're always prepared to show, generally to show a deficit because that's the simplest way for the Budget Commission to be satisfied of need.
Madam President,
and basically this is a document that's prepared, and once it's filed, it's pretty much put in a drawer after this.
So, Madam President, a couple things. One, this is not an appropriations ordinance. This
no,
is
not,
not the council voting to appropriate funds or to budget for the year. This is just telling the county what we expect to receive in property taxes and other taxes. One thing, though, it says in the memo, it says on the expenditure side of the ledger, the tax budget reflects a no increase in the cost of city operations over the amount budgeted for 2018. And I can say for the general fund, what you have budgeted here for the tax budget is an increase over what is budgeted in our budget ordinance 2018-13, which would match the projected revenue of $6,686,700. So the expenditures is increased over what's budgeted. The expenditures on this attachment, the exhibit here, exhibit one, under the general fund, under total expenditures, and there's a typo, it should say 2018 current year estimate. It says $6,874,460. So I'm just curious where that number comes from, and that to me looks like an increase in expenditures over what was budgeted in 2018-13, the city's budget ordinance.
Yeah, the amount that's in there is equal to what was budgeted this year plus the elimination of the deficit in the safety forces fund of $300,000.
Plus the limit, how does that?
The 2018 budget includes a deficit budget in the safety forces fund of $300,000. And so in this budget, in order to demonstrate need to the county, I use the general fund appropriation.
Do you do that every year? Because I noticed that.
If you look back,
last year's also has a deficit. Even though the budget that was passed by the council's budget that they passed was a balanced budget, the tax budget shows a deficit.
Right. If you look back at virtually every tax budget shows a deficit in the general fund.
Right. So it's just. And I also don't understand why we would need to show a deficit to get the tax money that's due the city. That seems a little odd that we would need to manufacture a deficit to show that we should get the money that's owed to us under the law.
Well, at some point they told us it's levying the property tax rates, and that's the simplest way to show need to the county budget commission.
So they only pay us the property taxes owed to us if we need it.
They only levy what we need. We will only levy at a rate than what we need.
So if...
In other words, if we were...
So are they going to pay us more because we have a deficit than if we had a balanced budget
We can only levy 7.3 mils in total, and this will ensure that they levy the full 7.3 mils and they don't reduce it. If we don't levy our full... this includes the inside millage, and if we don't levy the full as well as the charter millage and the voted millage, and if we don't levy the full inside millage, we would risk losing it to one of the other overlapping taxing districts. An overlapping taxing district is defined as the governments that have the ability to levy property taxes on a piece of property. So overlapping taxing districts would include the city, the county, the school district, and some of the special entities. In the state of Ohio, a total of 10 mils can be levied on a piece of property without a vote of the people. That's called the inside millage. It's inside the 10 mil limitation. And historically, those allocations don't change. However, if one entity does not levy all of their inside millage, another entity then could levy that millage, and once they levy it, it becomes theirs permanently until they choose to give it up.
So I just think it's important for the people to understand that this is essentially a formality for our county, so that the county knows what to pay the city in property taxes, and that this is not the city's budget, which was what we passed in ordinance 2018-13, which is a balanced budget. So as it was last year, there was a balanced budget ordinance passed by the council in the spring of last year, and then the tax budget is essentially the same thing, showing this using the police, the safety forces, what was the fund that you're using?
The safety forces fund, fund 234.
Fund 234, right. So you're adding that deficit into the general fund here?
That's correct.
To create this deficit that appears on the tax budget.
That's correct.
But this is not a deficit budget in terms of the budget for the city, the appropriations budget that we pass in the spring.
No, it has no impact on the 2018 budget.
Exactly. Other than
levying the property tax rates, which will become the next step in this process, is that the county then will certify the property tax rates back to the city for adoption in November or December, and that determines the amount of property tax revenue that would be generated, and that's what would be incorporated into the 2019 operating budget.
Okay, and then the next question I had is that we're projecting a $300,000 deficit next year, and spending over almost $7,200,000 out of the general fund. Why would we project that?
It's just an estimate. It's just an estimate. You can change this number to whatever you want to change it to.
But does it, I mean, I don't know that, I mean, I think it's fair to say that this council anyway wouldn't want to pass a $300,000 deficit budget.
This isn't
and if we're
budget.
Using this as a guide for our budget for next year, I'm just concerned we don't want to use a guide that gives us a $300,000 deficit for next year.
As I said, this isn't a budget. Typically, you know, virtually any city you talk to, this they adopt the tax budget, and it's the last time it's ever seen.
I'm just making sure. So thanks. I think that helps clarify this for me as well as everyone else. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and just so you know that the notice of the public hearing was advertised and the budget's been available since June 22nd, and the law requires two copies to be available for public inspection. And this year, like virtually every year in my career, no one has stopped in to look at it.
Well, yeah, I think it's I would venture to say semi-incomprehensible to the average person looking at it. It's a little hard to decipher unless you really know what's all about it here.
Yeah,
so
actually, not to be flip, but in the industry, this is kind of referred to as a liar's budget.
Okay.
Any other questions for on this?
Yeah, I apologize. It's it's just the complexity of Ohio property tax law. The Ohio property tax laws are very old and antiquated. And the Budget Commission actually the next step in this process would be is in the Budget Commission they would have hearings on property tax on the property tax rates where every community would come in. For its hearing, well, virtually, the commission allocates about 3 minutes to each community when they do these hearings. This is pretty much just it's just a formal step to comply with laws that the state probably should consider revising. Actually, this format of the tax budget is much simpler than what was done like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think if the state wants public input, that it should be made in a more digestible manner for the public so the public understands.
Actually, if you wanted my opinion, the tax budget should just be done away with.
Probably, because like I said, it doesn't make any sense that we have to go begging for our property tax that we're
owed. It's not a matter of begging. It's just it enables the Budget Commission to do their statutory responsibility. Because with the Budget Commission, one of the things that they're charged with is to review the requested property tax rates and certify that, in fact, the government that's requesting that those taxes be levied, that they actually need those taxes. And the tax budget is the vehicle that they came up with to do that.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Madam President.
Councilman Piesma.
I move to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2018-34.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Piesma and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2018-34. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Piesma.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The three reading rule has been waived on Ordinance 2018-34.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Micah.
Move to adopt Ordinance 2018-34.
Yes.
Second?
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Micah and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adopt Ordinance 2018-34. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Piesma.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Ordinance 2018-34 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance 2018-35.
An ordinance confirming the appointment of Joseph W. Demert, Jr. as Director of Law, along with his assistants, defining the duties and responsibilities and fixing the salary and compensation for said position, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
And this ordinance will be on first reading. The next is resolution number 2018-7.
A resolution approving the Lake County Solid Waste Management District's amended plan 5-year update dated April 2018, of the Lake County Solid Waste Management District and declaring an emergency.
This resolution will be on first reading. The second is resolution number 2018-8.
A resolution congratulating Michael Garrett Pevig on attaining the prestigious rank of Eagle Scout awarded by the National Boy Scouts of America.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Pismo.
Move to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2018-8.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2018-8. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, Mr. Michael Fiebig, who is Councilman Dave Fiebig's son, earned his Eagle Scout ranking a couple of years ago, and he's been long overdue to receive his resolution, and we always appreciate the achievements of our Eagle Scouts here in Willoughby Hills. So I think that it's about time that we adopt this resolution for Michael Fiebig.
Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The three-reading rule on resolution number 2018-8 has been waived.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Pismo.
Move to adopt resolution number 2018-8.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Vice President Pleshnik to adopt resolution number 2018-8. Is there any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Resolution number 2018-8 has been adopted. The next is resolution number 2018-9.
A resolution congratulating Joseph David Fiebig on attaining the prestigious rank of Eagle Scout awarded by the National Boy Scouts of America.
Madam President.
Councilwoman Pismo.
Move to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2018-9.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2018-9. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, Mr. Joseph Fiebig is also the son of Councilman David Fiebig, and he just graduated from high school and had a birthday, and also did his service project to attain his Eagle Scout ranking for our Lake Metro Park Farm Park. And I think that, again, he deserves to have this resolution passed as soon as possible to honor his achievement as an Eagle Scout.
Madam President, if I could add, I had the pleasure of writing a letter of recommendation for both Mike and Joe for their Eagle Scout awards, and it's wonderful to see them realize this in our city after doing service to our community. And I think it's appropriate that both brothers are awarded our resolution tonight.
Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. The three-reading rule on resolution 2018-9 has been waived.
Madam President?
Councilwoman Pismo?
Motion to adopt resolution number 2018-9.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilwoman Pismo and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt resolution number 2018-9. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki?
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes. Resolution number 2018-9 has been adopted. The next one is resolution number 2018-10.
A resolution declaring the month of September as National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month in the city of Willoughby Hills.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2018-10.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to waive the three-reading rule on resolution number 2018-10. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, generally when it comes to resolutions honoring people or highlighting causes, we waive the three-reading rule, particularly given that we want to have them passed and effective well in advance of the time that we intend to honor them.
Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. The three-reading rule on resolution 2018-10 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt resolution 2018-10.
Second.
have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Lenz to adopt Resolution Number 2018-10. Is there any discussion on the motion? I would just say that once this is adopted, then the clerk will contact the appropriate individual to let her know that our city has supported this. Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Resolution number 2018-10 has been adopted. The next is new business.
Madam President, per our discussion in rules and your reiteration of that discussion, we reached a consensus in the Committee on Rules and Legislation that we should have an ad hoc committee of council for the Landmark Commission that Councilwoman Laura Pigeon has proposed so that we can further explore the concept and hopefully finalize it. The idea being that Councilwoman Pigeon would be the chair of this ad hoc committee. So I would make a motion as recommended by Rules and Legislation to create an ad hoc committee of council for the Landmark Commission, naming Councilwoman Laura Pigeon as chair and giving her the authority, as we typically do with ad hoc and permanent committees, to choose her membership.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to create an ad hoc commission of council for the Landmark Commission, with Councilwoman Pismo being the chair, and she selecting her members as any chair would for their committee. Any discussion on the motion? Vicki?
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. So moved. Any other new business?
Madam President, I would just like to, I guess, inform the public of why we're not having this brush drop-off anymore in Willoughby Hills, because it's come to my attention from a few people that they go there and they're not allowed to drop off their brush.
Madam President, if I might, I think I was one of the first people to talk to our street superintendent, Mark Grubas, about this issue.
Thank you.
And what he and the mayor had shared privately and publicly is that the EPA was concerned with the runoff from the brush pile and had found that apparently the mayor's administration had not applied for the required license. And so this license is apparently somewhat expensive, difficult to attain, and given the location of the brush drop-off close to the tributaries of the Chagrin River, it would be unlikely it would be approved even if we went through that expensive process. So unfortunately, the brush pile was never licensed, and the EPA was kind enough to give us warning rather than just citing and fining the city. So there is that small silver lining. At least the city isn't facing penalties for the failure to apply for a license. But unfortunately, the mayor never did. And quite wisely, I think he chose to shut the brush pile down when the EPA told him to. Now, given that the licensure would be unlikely to be granted to us based on the location of the pile, we could try to explore as a city alternate locations. One suggestion that I've given is many cities actually have in their garbage contracts the ability to have the brush picked up along with regular garbage, which might be a pretty simple fix. So hopefully when our contract comes up in about a year, that's something we can explore if it's not too expensive. But many cities have it in their contracts, so I suspect that may be the best fix to this problem. For the time being, however, our website lists the address of Wycliffe's brush drop-off, which is properly licensed. And as an interim measure, Willoughby Hills residents, free of charge, can bring their brush drop-off to Wycliffe. The exact address is on the city website for anyone watching out in TV land. But unfortunately, the brush pile was never properly licensed.
Vice President Plesnik, is that listed on the website as far as Willoughby Hills is not accepting anymore?
I forget the exact wording on the website, but it does direct people, I think. I'm going to the website right now because it's on the very front page, I do believe. I'm pulling it up just so that I can give the exact verbiage.
Okay. In the meantime, Madam President, there's a big sign, too, now that says dump closed.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the brush drop-off was, and it has the alternatives, the Wycliffe drop-off's address there as well. So
Madam President,
that is the alternative.
The verbiage at the very top of the website is City of Willoughby Hills brush and leaf drop-off is closed in all caps. Material can be brought to Green Vision Compost Facility, 1291 East 289th Street, Wickliffe, Ohio, 44092, their hours being Monday through Friday, 7 to 4 p.m.
Monday through
so
Friday.
So that is right at the top of the website.
Okay, great. I'll have to let them know because three people have asked me already.
Because they went on the weekend and it was closed on the weekend.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes that's the best time for people to get things done.
Exactly.
On the weekend. So.
Yeah. Brush pickup around the neighborhood would be great for our...
It would. Honestly, I'm surprised that it was something we never negotiated for in the past. Oh. And as I've shared with the mayor, one thing I'd very much like to see is also having door-to-door pickup for senior residents, which is something that, once again, most cities seem to have negotiated for, at least the ones that I'm familiar with. And it can be very difficult if you have a half-mile-long driveway to carry a full bag of garbage from your door to the stoop. And so as we're looking at the next garbage contract, hopefully these are some things that we can negotiate for.
Awesome. Thank you.
Any other new business? For the good of the order, I'd like to share with everybody that Councilwoman Pismo became a Lion.
Yay.
On Tuesday. She is a member of the North Coast Lions Club. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Lion Laura.
And if I could add, Willoughby Hills has had a great history with the Lions Club. Our past district governor, Wally Burnett, who lives on Chardon Road, actually swore Councilwoman Pismo in. And our current district governor lives on Worrell Road in Willoughby Hills, Mike Tyler. So if you want to be involved in Lions, I know that Linda Fulton and Cheryl Oda of 2990 and 2960 Markham Boulevard, respectively, would both love to hear from you and invite you to the group. But, of course, I would be happy to talk to you as well. I think a majority of council are Lions members.
Any other for the good of the order? Good of the community? All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plushnick and a second from Councilman Pismo to adjourn the meeting. There is no discussion on adjournment. Vicki, please call the roll.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plushnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes. Meeting's adjourned at 7:52 p.m. Thank you, everyone.